That was really manly. Welcome to the A4 Play Podcast. I'm your host today, Justin J.J. Epperson.
Yay!
Thanks,
the host
guys.
With the most.
Yes, I'm the best host, the only host. The secret best. I don't know. Whatever. Welcome to the podcast. It's like about Japan and stuff. You know, people
games.
Like to talk about video games
and stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Japanese games.
Japanese stuff and games.
Yeah, exactly. Japanese stuff and games.
Canned coffee.
Yes, and canned coffee. No, we will not have any canned coffee. We'll have some interesting canned beer a little bit later.
Yes.
But
not during the recording of this podcast.
Not
of
during,
course.
Of course, this is a dry podcast. But anyways, yeah, welcome to the show. With me is mostly people that are not regularly on the podcast, except for my partner to the left, Roy Skate or Work. That's a pretty bad name. I'm sorry.
What is it, Skate or Work?
Skate or Work. It's like Skate or Die. But,
okay.
Yeah. And because?
I recently started skateboarding to my closest station to get to work just a little quicker.
That's your skateboard there.
That's my skateboard.
The dagger. Okay.
Mm-hmm,
nice. That was like a... Okay, it's being used.
Yes.
It is being used.
Oh, decoration.
Right.
So, like, it... I used to skateboard in high school.
Oh, really?
And it was like I enjoyed it a lot. But then I got a car and a job. And then
can you like do tricks and stuff?
I could. I used to be able to do like kickflip was the most I could do.
Okay. Can you grind rails?
I could never do it and land successfully.
Okay.
I could get on them and then fall off.
I don't want you to hurt yourself because you're very important to the company. So
well, I will do my best.
Please don't grind on anything. Also with us this week, you heard his sultry, sexy French voice last week. Last episode, it's Thomas. Adelin du Dome du Tokyo.
I don't think I understood that.
It's supposed to be Welcome Beyond the Tokyo Dome.
Oh. Okay.
because
you've got two French speakers on this podcast and no one understood what you just said.
That's so fine.
I wrote it down
and I did it's like A-U-D-E-L-A-D-U-D-O-M-E-D-U.
Au-delà du Tokyo Dome?
Yes, there we go.
Okay.
Fuck you, Jon Snow.
Is it like Mad Max 3 Beyond the Thunderdome?
That is correct.
Okay.
Because apparently you were looking for these crazy Mad Max posters that they released in Japan. Can you tell us about them?
Yeah, sure. The thing is, usually when Western movies come to Japan, they try to get a local artist to make like the design or the graphics. And there is a very famous Japanese artist that used to make like some film posters such as Star Wars in Japan. He also made, you might know in more video game terms, he made like all the Metal Gear 1, 2 and 3 posters. And so
did he also do the Terminator one?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But he did Mad Max 2 for Japan, a very special and iconic picture, and the poster is really beautiful.
Yeah, I saw it earlier today. It looks amazing.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to find it in a borough specialized in libraries and bookshops.
Okay.
Jimbocho, I think.
Jimbocho, okay.
Yeah. So I was really happy to find it for it was quite a steal, actually. It was like 200 yen or something. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
How big is it? Is it?
No, it's super small. It's like a pamphlet size, A4. So.
All right.
But it's really nice.
Cool. And also with us this week, he's a new voice on this podcast, a new intern. His name is Genghis the Hammer Ergen. Did I get that right?
You got the hammer right.
Okay. Genghis.
Let's try that again.
Genghis. I just want to say Genghis because it's like Genghis Khan.
I appreciate that it's a fun name to say Genghis, but let's keep it at Django, maybe. That might be the best.
Yes, we call him Django in the office, so pretty much during this podcast, we're just going to call him Django.
Yeah, it goes over much easier.
Yes. So you are the hammer because you were telling us stories about how you used to watch your dad do operations.
Ooh. That's the hammer.
Yeah.
That's the hammer. Right. So my dad's a retired plastic surgeon. So,
yeah
I guess if people aren't aware, when they see somebody with a nose job walk down the street, it meant that at some point during the operation, a doctor took a mallet to their face.
Yeah.
It might have changed over the years, I'm sure. But
so when they hit them with the mallet, is it like...
There's a chisel,
just
too.
Like straight up just like...
No. Imagine Michelangelo sculpting a masterpiece.
Oh, okay.
It's a chisel.
It's like a ching, ching, ching,
right,
ching.
Right,
not,
right,
not a thwap. you know,
if it's a big
blood.
If it's a big honking schnoz, then maybe.
Okay,
but yeah,
I see.
It's a chisel and a mallet kind of situation, and yeah, that's a little shop talk on plastic surgery, I guess.
Okay, cool. Well, that's interesting. So, and lastly, and not leastly, we have a foreplay favorite guest. I don't know. People love him. People hate him. People love to hate him. It's Jean Shukatsu Snow.
Shukatsu?
Shukatsu. In Japanese, you would write the kanji for over and katsudo to, like, do things. So,
okay.
In Japan, it's kind of like a recent thing, but people, before they die, do this thing called shukatsu.
That's nice.
And what it is they go through all their stuff.
Oh,
and they
catalog
everything. They, like, pick out coffins and all that sort of thing. And you are...
I know I'm dying soon, so I'm trying to get rid of all my stuff.
Well, in the eyes of us here in Tokyo...
The right people get them.
You will be pretty much dead. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. But you are leaving Tokyo.
I'm out of here.
I'm
leaving.
And you've been kind of looking through your... You've been going through all your stuff the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And you've been kind of cataloging it on Twitter.
Yeah, some people are telling me it's the longest packing they've ever seen.
Oh, dude,
I'm basically... Not Instagramming everything, but it's just like a trip back through... I don't know, all of the shit that I've collected over 15 years in Japan.
So. You've been in Japan for 15 years now.
A little bit over.
And why did you decide to leave?
I mean, you know, there are a million reasons, but it's just time.
Oh,
just kind of feel it's
you
time.
You just kind of feel it.
For a bunch of reasons.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, well, so you've been cataloging your stuff. How much of that are you throwing away or selling or...
Well, I mean, a lot of the things that I was taking pictures of I was throwing it away. So, in a way, it was a me saying goodbye to that thing. And, like, maybe I can go back on Instagram and start missing it. Like,
I remember that thing.
Or then I'll be like, oh, shit, what did I do? Why did I throw that away?
Yeah.
But, no, there was a lot of stuff also. Like, I had a garage sale, and Toma actually came to the garage sale on Sunday. And, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's depressing, to be honest.
Right.
It's just that, I mean, it's so expensive to ship everything. We're not bringing any furniture. We're just bringing personal stuff.
Yes.
And my wife has all of her research books and stuff that she wants to bring. So I'm kind of, okay, I'll get rid of my stuff so we can pay to ship your stuff.
Oh, wow. Well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing with Comfy, your dog?
He's coming.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Because, you know, some people will just, you know.
Kill them?
Dogs. animals are hard to move.
Yeah. No, it is. And
as Roy knows.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, I have a fairly big dog.
A huge dog.
It's a mountain of a dog.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a Great Pyrenees.
Oh.
He's about 40 kilos.
Wow. That's human being size.
I think in North America it's not that big, but in Tokyo it's big.
I don't know, man. I don't think I've seen a dog as big as Comfy.
I mean, if I lift him up, he's my size.
Yes.
Wow.
His head is bigger, basically. So, yeah, it was tough. Only one airline could bring him.
Really?
JAL.
Wow, so you had to pay a little extra on the ticket?
I was worried about, you know, that maybe it might be expensive, and he's just extra luggage.
Really? Oh, wow.
How much is extra luggage?
It's going to be something like 170 because of the weight. It's just the problem was, like, other airlines, you can bring a dog, but they have, like, a limit on the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the weight is basically the dog plus the crate, and he was just over that limit all the time. But JAL doesn't have an official number, so you can call them and have, like, a chat with them and see if they'll be okay. And they kind of agreed.
You can get, like, insurance on it and all that stuff. That just makes me worried to see him in a plane. I just, like, it makes me paranoid that you're going to put...
Look, I'm fucking worried as fuck. I mean, I'm really nervous about it.
And I know how your dog can get pretty nervous himself.
Exactly. I mean, he doesn't take
cage.
Well to be in crates. So I'm very, very... I mean, I'm stressed about a lot of things right now. And one of them is, like, I'm not looking forward to that day when we fly over.
Right.
But... It's got to be done, and I mean, you know, it'll get done. People do it, you know.
But you're going back to Canada.
To Canada.
Forever. Are you ever going to come back and say hi and, you know?
Well, my wife is Japanese.
Well,
so,
you know, some people don't come back.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, like, you know, as I've been announcing that I'm leaving, and people, you know, we have a lot of friends, actually, that common friends that, you know, have come to Japan, they've left. They freaked out. They came back.
Yeah.
And so all those people are telling me that I'm going to do the same.
I see.
And it might happen. And if that happens, that's fine. Like, I've learned to not say that I'm doing something forever. But, you know, right now I just feel like the time is right to just kind of try something new. I've lived my entire adult life in Japan.
Right.
So I kind of want to know what it's like to be an adult in North America.
Okay.
Maybe it sucks.
Maybe it does.
No, I want to be able to... And I just want to go to like a diner and get a good... You know, club sandwich.
I was thinking dirtiest, greasiest spoon diner.
I know when I want, that pay, you know, $5, $7, $8, and just get like a fucking decent club sandwich with no eggs in it. You know, it's just like regular club sandwich.
You wanna be able to walk down the street and know you could throw your gum wrapper away every block because there's a garbage can on every block in America and Canada.
It's the little things.
Yeah, when me and my wife were watching Gilmore Girls, we were marathoning all of Gilmore Girls. We just like were craving a diner burger for forever. Mm-hmm. And when I go back to Memphis sometime this year, that's the first thing I'm gonna do.
I've been craving diners for 15 years now.
Oh wow!
So I'm due.
You're due for some.
I'm due.
Damn good.
When you
coffee.
Get back, I predict you will. The first thing you will want is ramen. That's the first thing you're going to start to miss.
It's
That's
possible.
Me
but, I mean, it depends what city I end up in.
True.
Because, I mean, these days, you know, yeah, bigger cities, I mean,
definitely.
It seems like everybody, like in Toronto, you see always Chris Chusky. He's always, like, fucking Instagramming the ramen that he's eating, and it looks pretty good. It looks pretty similar to what we're having here. So.
Maybe. But, yeah, why don't we bring him back to games, guys?
Fine.
We got a lot.
It's a podcast about Japan.
Yeah, Japan.
And games.
And games. Mostly games. And it seems like a lot of us have been playing a lot of different things. Let's start off with some of the stuff that's kind of common between some of us. And we'll start out with Ollie Ollie 2. Ollie Ollie 2 is... Why are you laughing, Thomas?
No, because the name is funny. Like, Ollie Ollie.
Oh, it's like Ollie Ollie Oxenfree.
Is it something dirty in French?
Don't tell them.
So, Ollie Ollie is a game. It's a skateboarding game. It's like a 2D.
Oh, really?
It's skateboarding. Oh. It's like about. It's kind of like a 2D Tony Hawk almost.
Okay.
Well, that's what's interesting about it—the fact that it's 2D.
I mean,
you know, usually we've always played like skate games and
right. Even back in the NES days, 720, Skate or Die, those games were isometric kind of 3D.
Yeah.
Affairs. This is a side-scrolling.
Yeah.
Almost. It's not like a runner or whatever. But it is kind of in the similar vein. You like go and you just.
You're always moving forward.
Always moving forward, and there are these.
Well, no. I mean, yeah. But it's levels, and you have to do tricks. And
right.
I mean, it does feel like a proper, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Game.
And I'm fucking loving it.
It's fun.
It is a game that
it's one of the PS Plus free games.
It's one of the PS Plus free games. It's a game that I've been kind of wanting to play for a while, but it's been mostly like a Vita thing.
Did you play the first one?
No. So Ollie Ollie, like I was saying, it was like more of a Vita thing, and I don't own a Vita. So like it's one of those things where it's like, I want it.
Yeah.
But now I actually have it, and like I was playing it last night. And like sometimes I would, you know, I would play, and then the run would end, and I would just kind of leave it at the result screen.
Why?
Because the music is so fucking good.
Okay. The music is good. The
music
is
so
really
like
good, yeah.
Chill. I don't know. I just would be there and like I'd pick up my phone and be like, "Yep." I felt like I was in high school again.
Can you still do the thing in the first one? You could. I think it was the left and right on the directional to change the track, or maybe it was triangle.
Oh, so I don't know. Triangle is to restart.
Okay, one of the buttons, face buttons, would so you could basically have your playlist. You know, like you listen to any of the tracks you want, just in any of the menus.
Right.
Oh,
really?
So, possible.
Well, yeah, I'll probably try that when I get home. But to bring it back a little bit, the gameplay for this is it's a little different from Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk, if you haven't played it, you know you're on your skateboard and you like jump, and then each of the face buttons will do different kind of tricks, and it's very free form. It's very easy to do. Ollie Ollie is more of like a skill based sort of thing. The basics are you take your left analog and you kind of flick it down to jump.
Hmm.
And from there, and like you can flick it down, or you can like kind of flick it to the sides, or do other things.
Yeah, like to grind, you basically hold it down,
right. Yeah.
And then when you're done grinding, like you'll let it go, and then you do like whatever flip you'll do. And
it kind of mirrors like the feeling of kicking down on a skateboard.
Yeah, it does feel good, like doing that action on the controller.
That's what I really like about it, is that like, you know, when you flick it, it almost kind of like the action on screen and the action of your hand. It feels very like tactile. You're like kind of doing what you're seeing.
Did you already get to a point where you knew what you were doing? Like when you were trying to do special tricks, like a specific trick? I was still just experimenting and kind of doing whatever. Because there's challenges, right, for every level. And some of the challenges are do this specific trick.
Yeah, I can... So I was getting to the point where I was sort of able to do that. Like, this game, you have to... So you jump and you do your trick, and then before you land, you have to hit the X button to kind of, like, land your guy. So, like, it's almost like a timing-based thing at the end.
Oh, yeah, I kept fucking that up because I kept wanting to put the the analog stick down to land, and I was always doing that, just crashing in the
It was weird. I kept fucking myself up, but once... At the beginning, I just could not do it. I, like, would fuck up all the fucking time. And then, eventually, by the end of last night, I was able to land maybe 60% of...
Yeah, and that really affects your combo, because if you don't get the excellent or the right timing for the landing, then you lose almost half your points.
No, I noticed that. If you can just do a complete run, and you're not doing any special tricks, but you're just, like, grinding properly and you're landing properly every time, I mean, you get, like, a pretty high score just from that.
Multiplier goes way up.
I got a... My highest score was, like, 119,000 last night, which was... I was kind of shocked by it. I was like, oh my god, it was like a freak run where I was just like grinding on everything and I was landing everything, and it felt really good. There was like, there's definitely like this kind of zenness about it where you're just like jump and then land.
Yeah, they designed the levels that way, I think.
Right. And then like the sound, like the feedback of the sound when you land correctly and stuff like that, it's all kind of firing and you're like, oh man.
And the look of the game is nice too. I like that it's like minimalist. It's pretty simple graphics, but it's clean and it just feels nice and modern. Like
And like the whole game itself is like, I was talking about the music is very chill, but it's all very just kind of like low key. Just like, yeah, you can do that. There's no one shouting in your face. It's not extreme or whatever, like skateboard 90s. He's whatever, you know. It's
you
just
gotta keep it separated.
Exactly. There's no offspring. Nobody's got like a skull on their skateboard. I don't know. Maybe
what was it? Was it Superman? What was that big song in the first Tony Hawk that was like the go-to? I can't remember.
Oh God, I don't remember.
There was like one track on that.
Yeah,
like,
no, I think I know what you're talking about.
But it is refreshing to not have exactly like we're just kind of all the skate games always had that same kind of feel to them. Look in terms of music, aesthetic, and this one just feels different. And
it kind of feels like. It's the skateboarding game for the people who are just like, I want to take a nice little vacation.
Yeah, because I mean, I kept wanting to play the first one and just never got around to it.
Yeah,
so I was pretty excited when they announced they were doing a second one, and it's great that it's free if you're
are a PS Plus member, definitely download it. Give us some time because it is a little hard to get used to at the beginning. Anyways, next, let's talk a little bit about Majora's Mask. Because Jon Snow, you've been playing it, and I've been playing it a little bit. Thomas, did you play any? Since the last podcast. Okay, so yeah, I actually, after the podcast last week, I played it all the way home, and it gave me vertigo.
What?
I was like about to vomit on the train.
Oh man!
Yeah, and I was like, oh no, what's going on?
Is it because you're doing a lot of combat? Or?
I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because I got lost or something. Mm. But like, yeah. Basically, I haven't picked it up since. Because, like, I want to play it, but I'm, like, scared that I'm just going to be, like...
The only problem I have with the 3D when I'm playing, like, a Zelda game is when I get to the boss fights. And then often I'll actually put the... That's the only time ever when I'm playing on 3DS that I'll put the 3D off. Because I just get so into it and I'm moving a lot. And constantly... I have the old 3DS. I don't have the new one. I think the new one will be perfect. But, you know, it's just always moving. Yeah, and so it's, you know, it's screwing up and you're, like, kind of missing moves and stuff because of that. But that sucks though.
Did you have the 3D on when this happened?
I had it on and off sometimes.
Maybe that's why.
But when it finally started to happen, it was off. But it was just like bad times. And I don't get motion sick on trains, so it was definitely like a weird thing. But Jon Snow, you were telling me before the podcast started that this was a game that you missed because you were like basically into the Dreamcast.
Well, I was thinking about that, like because I mean Zelda is my favorite series. Yes. I've played every game since the first one. But Majora's Mask, I have it. I had it. I think somebody grabbed it at my garage sale. but for some reason, I never got far into it. And then I was trying to think, like, why would that be? And I think it was, when that game came out, one of it was like I was kind of traveling between Japan and Canada, I think. And then the other thing was that it was around the time that the Dreamcast came out.
Yes.
And I was always a Nintendo boy, pretty much from the start. And,
Nintendo boy.
Fanboy.
Emphasis on the boy.
On the boy. But the one time I kind of crossed over, I went to the other side, the Sega side. I mean, I had the Genesis and all that. And I played all the games, but the Dreamcast, I mean, like I was telling you, it was special
and
for
and
me.
And I think that's pretty much the same for me because like I was a Sega fanboy growing up. And when the Dreamcast came out, I was just like, I dropped everything.
Yeah,
and
I think that was pretty much the same. Yeah, for me too. I mean, just Shenmue and just all the stuff that was coming out.
Hell yeah.
So did any of us play it right when it came out then? Because I
don't
so
know.
So I did, but I never finished it.
Oh, okay. Because I think we were talking about this before, and we all thought we were in the minority of people that hadn't played it.
But it seems there's a lot. Well, actually, so Bill Trinh was in town back in December. And
right.
That I guess Majora's Mask is one of the first games he worked on.
Mm. Right.
And he was kind of chastising us for having finished it, because I think even John and Mark
really.
Maybe John finished
I think it was Mark admitted.
Mark admitted. Yeah, yeah. John finished.
It seems like John would have finished.
And he was just like, guys. And we all made a promise, a blood promise, right there that we were going to get through the 3D version when it comes out.
Okay. Well, I hope Bill's not listening, because he's gonna definitely.
My thing was the whole time system just seemed really confusing when I was.
Yeah.
However old I was when it came out, I was like, I don't want to deal with that.
You're probably 16, 17.
Somewhere around there, yeah. That sounds about right.
But so now that you guys are playing it now in the future, how are you liking it?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. But I mean, I do think that I wouldn't have loved this game the way it used to be. I know that they've made a lot of changes to kind of make it easier for somebody also my age who doesn't have as much time to grind.
You're like,
to
what, just 63?
Kind of, yeah. I'm 64.
Not a day over 62. I was going to say.
But, you know, like, just stuff like, you know, the playing the time song.
Yes.
Backwards and all that stuff to kind of slow down or jump in time to do stuff. And I think it's an easier game to play now, and that suits me fine. But just in terms of, the whole idea of, you know, these, you play through these 3 days, you keep going back.
Right.
It's just such an interesting idea.
It's like Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day. And at first you'd think like, oh man, it'd just be annoying because you keep losing everything. But you don't lose everything.
Yeah.
And you know, it's fairly easy to get back the stuff that you kind of lost. Just get more arrows and get more whatever.
Exactly. And it's designed to kind of like, it's one of those things where, you know, if you don't think about it, you just hear like, oh, you gotta restart it every 3 days game time, and that just sounds annoying. But the game is designed in a way that, like, as you progress, there are things that you don't have to do anymore. You can just start there and go to this dungeon instead of do all this other things. So it's actually quite, like, interesting in that respect, that it's just, it's moving you forward, but at the same time bringing you back every time.
And then when you get to, like, you get to a new temple, then there's, like, you can warp there easily. So you get to a new temple.
Right, exactly.
You want to, of course, start, like, the new 3-day cycle to make sure you have enough time to kind of go through the temple. So you just, you restart, and then you can just kind of warp back to that temple. So that's good. And then one thing I learned, which I was, like, I was a little bit, not depressed, but kind of bummed, because I was doing the water temple.
Yes.
And I got to the boss, and it took me a long time, because I got lost, and it's all about switches and shit. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, my God. Took me the whole thing. Got to the final boss, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the five-minute counter or whatever that pops up when it's like, okay.
When it gets really big,
end of the world is coming. And I was just like, oh, no, I'm going to have to redo the whole water temple.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, but, you know, at least I'll kind of remember where the switches are.
It's kind of like Dark Souls. You know where everything is.
But the thing is, so I restart the 3-day cycle. I warp to the beginning of the water temple. And even though I restarted the 3-day cycle, if you've reached a boss, you can warp to the boss. Immediately to the boss battle.
Nice.
So That's a good thing to know. So if you get to the boss and you don't think you have enough time, don't worry.
Yeah.
Just restart the 3-day cycle, get back to the beginning of the temple, and then when you enter the temple, there's like a sort of platform that looks like a mask kind of thing.
Mm.
That's the warp thing, and basically becomes active after you've reached a boss.
See, I would probably just die, because if there's a countdown the whole time I'm fighting a boss, I'm just gonna be looking at that countdown and like stressing about
still
it.
Though, but it's pretty exciting though, right?
True, I guess it does.
If you make it, it'll be amazing.
Well, there are times where like I was doing something and then that thing, and so I'm starting to like speedrun, and I don't usually do speedruns in games, but I'm trying like, I think I can do this. I'm almost at the end. I'm gonna try, or even if it's not that counter, but you know, you only have like 12 hours left, and I'm just like, I'm gonna try to go fast. And
push it. And on that note, let's move on to the next game. We got a lot of stuff here. Counter Spy for PS4. That was another PS Plus game.
That came out last year to so-so reviews. People were saying, a lot of people were disappointed. I was still interested in playing it because I really like the art direction for it. It looks cool. I like spy stuff.
Right.
It's a 2D. I've only played like the first couple of levels, but it plays a little bit like a Metroidvania kind of thing. You're going around. There's a little map. I've been having fun so far.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know.
For free, it's fun.
It's free, it's fun, yeah. There's a couple things about the game that I find interesting. One being that it is like one in a long string of games that is like a bunch of faceless bad guys in a big factory doing evil things, and you go in and kill them. Like the other game I thought of immediately when I started playing, and it's almost aesthetically very similar. Well, not aesthetically, but more like in the way that things are designed. Strider, If you play the new Strider, it like it's so weird that things are exactly the same. But anyways,
What was the one that Epic made? It was really fun.
Shadow Complex. Shadow Complex. Yeah, that was the other one I was thinking. And Shadow Complex too. But I feel like this game kind of pulls it off because it has an art style that's kind of like, you know,
it's a bit cartoony. 70s, it's very stylish. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of it's. And I'm not a big fan of stealth games, but I like this because it is like an arcade stealth game.
Yeah.
And it also, for some weird reason, reminds me of Rolling Thunder, the game. I don't know if you guys have played.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I loved Rolling Thunder. Yeah. No, I just had a flashback. I hadn't thought of that game.
But yeah, it's like kind of like, you know, you're just like, I don't know. Ninja-ing
but what's interesting also
right.
is like, you know, when you get behind cover,
yeah.
then it switches, because usually you're playing, it's 2D.
Yeah.
And then when you go, but when you go behind cover, then it kind of goes to like 2.5 kind of thing, and then you can kind of move around and aim to shoot the dudes.
Like, it's very good at making you feel like you're an expert assassin.
Yeah.
Not like a guy who's playing as this person who is supposed to be an assassin, and you're just doing it very badly, like in a Metal Gear game. This is like, you're just so awesome. You just fucking kill people. But yeah,
who doesn't want to feel that way?
I've only played the first part, the first mission. So more on that in future episodes, I'm sure. So let's go back to games that nobody else has played, and I want to hear more from our friend here, Roy.
That's me. Yes.
Guess what?
What?
You're finally going to get to talk about Final Fantasy XIV at length.
Yay!
Oh, man.
I'm actually excited. I actually
was it because when Mark and John were here, he wasn't allowed to?
Well, yeah, I think, yeah.
He's the only one,
really
I think.
I had anything new to say. Well, yeah. Like, I played it a bunch, and they'd be like, okay, that's good.
Yeah, but this particular episode, there was a pretty big update, a substantial update, where they added basically the Las Vegas of Azuria.
Is that the big update that was promised? Or
well,
with the new classes?
That's 3.0. This is 2.5.
Oh, okay.
So that's like spring, I think.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the golden saucer?
Gold saucer.
No. Golden saucer
it's fine.
It's a restaurant, isn't it? Okay. Anyways, so yeah, tell us about it. What is the gold saucer? What do you do? How does it work?
So it's, like you said, it's a casino. And if you played Final Fantasy VII, then, you know, it should ring some bells.
Yes.
So it's got a bunch of like mini games, like timing based mini games, where you can win a currency that's unique to the gold saucer.
Okay.
And then there's rewards you can buy with that currency.
I see. So you can grind for loot.
What are the rewards?
The rewards, well, that gets into some of the other stuff. One of the rewards is a unique hairstyle, which people are like freaking out about. I don't like it actually. It's like a really generic ponytail, and
who would ever pick the ponytail?
You know, and it's also for both genders, right? So it's like, how cool can it be if it's for both genders?
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, what else? Yeah, you can buy cards for. Oh, God, what's the card game called?
Triple Triad.
Yeah. Triple Triad is another thing they added with this patch.
Oh, nice.
It's awesome. Like, anyone who's played Final Fantasy VIII, like, if you know that song, the Triple Triad song, it comes into your mind instantly. And they brought it back. They brought all the music back. Like, the Gold Saucer music's back.
That's cool.
A full card game inside the game?
Yeah.
That's
and it's
nice.
You collect cards by beating NPCs, and then you can build decks. And it's kind of like this slow inching up where it's like you start with just shit cards and then you beat people and you'll get like one good
kinda
card.
Like Hearthstone.
One kind of good. I don't know what that is.
Well, And Hearthstone's another deck-based card game.
You may be the only person that doesn't know what Hearthstone is. This is amazing. I'm in the presence of a...
Blizzard's card game that is...
I know Magic. Is that...
Same idea.
Anyway,
okay.
So that's another thing you can buy with the currency you earn in the Gold Saucers cards for Triple Triad. And then you can... probably the biggest addition to Triple Triad... Or to the Gold Saucer is the ability to race chocobos and, like, breed chocobos.
Nice. Yeah.
Which is another thing from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
So it's like you start... You get, like, a baby chocobo. And then you have to, like, kind of... level it up by racing, and the racing system is like this
kind of
combination of Final Fantasy VII's racing, which was really simple. Yeah. Just like you have a stamina bar,
you time it right when you want to sprint. And,
yes, exactly. And then some kind of like Mario Kart elements where there's items you can pick up.
Blue shells?
Well, not that specific. But you pick up items that you can either use to boost yourself or screw over other people. But it's a little different in that, like, with... Correct me if I'm wrong here, because it's been a while since I played, but in Mario Kart, it's like there's a chest, right? And then, or like a box, and then whoever gets it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So in this version, the box stays there, and it's like there's four different items in it, and each person who gets it, they get the first item, the second.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And there's like there's a window that tells you which one's which, so you can tactically avoid items or pick up items based on if you want to screw people over more or less. Yeah.
So how much have you been playing it?
I've been playing a lot of the Chocobo Racing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's
really?
A lot of fun, yeah.
What level is your Chocobo?
He just got to rank 18.
Yeah, is the colors playing into effect as well?
I haven't bred him yet. Color only changes after you start breeding, which I want to get to that point.
Are there like special glowy colors or anything like that?
I've seen like greenish... blackish colors.
Can you
like,
ride them afterwards as your chocobo?
No, see, they already had a system in place for like a chocobo mount that you could level up. It's like it's a mount, and also you can like have it come to battle with you.
Right.
But this is a completely separate chocobo from that chocobo.
It would be nice if like after you retire your chocobo, you could ride it.
Well, after you retire it, that's when you made it. That's when you stud it out and get some babies that are better than their parents. And
chocobo babies. So then you're also gambling. What kind of gambling like games do they have?
They're mostly timing based. So there's like a gauge that fills, and you want to like hit a button when it's.
Are they like modeled after like real?
One of them's
casino games. Or?
Well, one of them's basketball because apparently the producer of the game really likes basketball.
Basketball.
And it was in Final Fantasy VII too. So.
Okay.
Barrett, right?
Then there's. What's the? I don't know what it's called, but you know that game where you have a hammer and you hit like a thing and then.
Whack-a-mole?
No.
It's the one where it has like the little bell at the top.
Yeah. I don't know what that's called.
For test your might.
Something like that. There's one of those.
Test your might.
Yeah, thank you.
But the main draw is really like you make the most money off Triple Triad and Chocobo Racing. Like, okay. That's what you do there.
Just like in real life.
There's also like another gambling system that's like a scratch off card.
Scratch
it's called Cactopot. I think it's based on like Cactopot. The whole. Gold saucer is like cactar shaped and cactar.
Oh, nice! Mm. I like cactars.
Cactars are great.
Yes.
Are you doing these things because you enjoy doing these things, or just because you're trying to get the prizes?
I actually don't even care about the prize. I haven't even spent any of the money that you.
So just
earned.
You find like the chuckable stuff. You find it interesting. And
yeah, I like it. I like. It feels really good to me when I'm racing with somebody and I screw them over. Like I don't know. That's a great feeling. And the other thing is like with the chocobo racing, there's like collision detection kind of. So if I'm in front of a dude and he uses like a power up that accelerates, he's just gonna like slam into my chocobo's butt.
By the way, are you playing against other players?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh wow. So how is the matchmaking?
Well, it's all based on.
Can you drop out? Like, are there people who like drop out in the middle of the race?
I've never seen that happen.
Okay, that's good.
They're fairly short races, like maybe 4 to 5 minutes.
All right.
So I think most people have.
If you're mature enough to grow a chocobo, you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You're mature enough
to race
until the end.
I maybe already mentioned, but is it on rails similar to the 7, or are you actually kind of like doing left to right movements?
Yeah, you can. There's like lanes that you can weave in and out of.
Oh, okay,
and like
okay.
that's pretty important because one of the stats, your chocobos have like 5 different stats. I don't remember what all of them are, but nice. One of them. Is the ability to navigate lanes when you want. Because it's kind of like, it's really, it's not precise, the lane changing. Like, they don't change right when you want them to.
So it's kind of like a little bit of a random element.
Kind of, yeah.
So the higher that stat, the more responsive they are to changing.
The more cunning they are, the better they are at going where you
cunning.
Want them.
Oh, really?
Sneaky.
Okay, and so another game. Well, yeah. Anything else you want to say about Final Fantasy XIV Gold Saucer?
So now are you just doing that? You're not doing any raids or any of the other things? I mean, you've probably leveled up to the max.
So
there's nothing else to do?
Well, there's still a ton to do, actually. And I've had less time to play lately since my girlfriend's in Japan with me now. Which is like, I don't know if I should mention this as well. I just got a PS4.
Yes.
And I just started doing remote play with my Vita.
How is that going?
PS4. It's actually really easy for Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, nice. Final Fantasy XIV would be a good game for that, I
think. They set it up really well. Like, you have to use the back touchpad for certain buttons.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It controls really well. Once you get used to using the back touchpad...
How's the text, though? Because I remember when it came out... I played when it first came out on PS3, and then I stopped playing. Mm. And then when it came out on PS4, I think, or maybe it was the beta for PS4, I tried it because I wanted to try the remote play, and I had trouble reading the text. Like, all the, you know, when I was talking to somebody, like, it was so small. But maybe it was just something that need it to be adjusted? Or?
You can enlarge the windows. Like, all the windows you can adjust the size of, and that makes it a little easier, but right. I've always had problems reading it, even, like, on PS3.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. The text was really small in the beta.
Is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so also you've been playing Hotaru Nikki.
Yes.
Firefly Diary.
Yes.
What is that? What is that all about?
So it's like a side-scrolling puzzle game that uses all the touch controls on the Vita.
Okay, it's a Vita
game. Yeah, Vita game.
Okay.
So you touch, like... Basically, it starts with there's this girl with horns and a dress who's like in this ruin, and a firefly appears and like wakes her up.
Okay,
it's very light on the story.
Right,
and then you just control the firefly with the front touchpad.
Oh,
and
so you're kind of guiding her out.
Yes,
of whatever
she,
it is.
She follows the firefly.
Ah,
and then at a certain point,
because Hotaru in Japanese is firefly.
Yes,
by the way.
And then at a certain point, you can. Switch to the rear touchscreen, and then you become, rather than a firefly, you're like another kind of moving speck, but you can only move in the negative space of the, or not the negative space, you can only move where there's solid objects.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So then it becomes like, if you can't solve a problem by directing her with the firefly, you have to switch to the other the dark mode, it's called, I think.
Mm. Okay.
And then you can like, make something fall from up high, and then it creates like a bridge that she can cross.
Wow.
Is it like 50-50 with the amount of back touch and front touch navigation, or probably the back touch probably comes into play a little bit?
There's a lot of back touch.
Yeah, how much back touch are we talking here?
That's a good question, actually. I would say maybe 2/3 front to back.
Good, yeah, because that...
Sorry. Yeah, kids, come on.
Once we get into the back touch on the Vita, I start to kind of reel a bit because it's a bit...
It's not bad. Yeah. I get excited when it's time to do back touch.
Get excited with the back touch, right? Revelations coming out.
Yeah. But the other thing is, like, the story...
Any excuse to fondle your Vita.
Yeah, it's been nice to be using my Vita more,
right. Yeah.
I'll be honest.
So how is the game? Tell us what you think about it.
You know, I don't generally get into puzzle-solving games.
Okay.
But I've been having fun with it. There's something to that feeling of like, aha, I figured this out.
Yeah.
And it has that. The other thing that I really like about it is the story is like kind of dark. It's clear that there's been some kind of like end of the world scenario, but they're not like, hey, read this email about how the world ended. It's more like you kind of perceive it.
There's not like a tape player on the ground that you press play and it's like, oh my God.
This dude recorded
the bombs dropped
every moment of his last moments on the just conveniently in the tape. Yeah.
So instead, it's like you pick up. I think they're rabbits or something.
Okay.
Like in the world, and then it turns into like a 2/3 overhead 2D mode of the game where you have to like you're viewing a memory of this girl, and you have to like basically there's NPCs and you interact with them and like they don't talk. But like a bubble appears over their head and it'll show an item. And then you have to find that item somewhere in this like isometric world and bring it to her or bring it to the NPC and that's it.
Huh.
But when you're in these memories, you see things that are like, okay, I think I kind of get what happened like to the world. Because one of the first ones is you see like this guy who is clearly trying to create food in an environment where there's like no sunlight or something.
Right.
And then you're like, oh shit. This is some scary stuff.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gets more and more scary and dark, which I like. I like when that's what I like about Japanese games that are about end of the world. They tend to do that a little.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. I kind of want to play that.
Yeah.
Man, I need to get a feel.
And there's no real dialogue then. Yeah, it's kind of all visual.
There is a little bit in the beginning, but it's really light on that. Like if you want a game that's just right into the puzzle stuff, then it does that well, I think.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, let's see. Can I talk about... I wish maybe I should wait till John gets here. Dragon Quest Heroes, Zelda Musou.
Oh, tell us about it. No, I'm actually...
Okay. This is your chance to shine, because I don't think you'd get a chance when they're here.
Nobody's going to stop you.
Right, well, that's the thing. So
and nobody's going to stop John from talking about it.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's a good point. So let's talk about Dragon Quest Heroes and Zelda Musou. So we've talked about Zelda Musou on this podcast before. The thing is that John doesn't really know much about Musou games, and Mark doesn't want anybody to talk about them. So let me just let me give you my quick review of Zelda Musou. It's a competent Musou game, but it is very clear that the Musou series, the Warriors series, has not evolved since Dynasty Warriors 3.
So you play all of them?
I've played most of them.
Okay. Because for me, Hyrule Warriors. I mean, I haven't played the Dynasty Warriors games. So this was like sort of my first...
Really? Okay.
You know, taste of that kind of gameplay. And I had a lot of fun with it.
Yes.
And I liked it even more than I thought I would, because I liked even like the cutscenes and stuff. They were really well done. And then just like being in that world with the music and the characters and playing the characters. So for the fan service that it's supposed to be, it worked on me.
Yeah, and John talked about the fan service when he was talking about it, and it does do it really well.
And like the adventure mode after, yeah, and that's just kind of fun. Like, I like it.
But the thing is that, and one thing I tried to explain when I talked about Sengoku Basara 4, is that, like, the Dynasty Warriors series, most of the characters are kind of the same. And what I mean by that is that, like, yes, they all have different moves, they all have different weapons, their attacks do different things, but gameplay-wise, they're all kind of the same. Everybody has a combo that's XXX... YYY, and then you hit an X after every command.
It just looks different.
Yeah, and it'll do a different thing, and, like, basically, there's no, like...
So you know how to play one, you know to play all of them?
Basically, yeah. There's no real strategy. It's just, like, in that situation, I want to kill this many guys. This situation, I want to kill this many guys. But in Sengoku Basara... Each character is like a Capcom fighting game character where, like, there's one character where, like, you charge every move and then, like, it, you know, they play very slowly, or, like, this other character who does with his fist, like, you have to charge up this meter and then, you know, you do this, that, and this. And it's very much like each character is its, like, own little game, like in a MOBA or something like that. And with this Zelda Warriors game, like, yes, I'm still enjoying it because I haven't played a Dynasty Warriors since Dynasty Warriors 6, I think, which was the Xbox 360 PS3 version. It's nice to be back in that world. And one thing that Dynasty Warriors does different from the Basara series is that it is very much like you're on this battlefield and you're like going over this way, and then like someone's like dying, and you go back and you help them out. And there's very much like this like traversal element where you're kind of...
Yeah, you're always looking at the map.
Right, and always looking at the map, going around the battlefield and doing stuff. And it's really cool to do that and have it be with Zelda characters instead of... And I love Three Kingdoms. The book is a great book. But... You know, Zelda's pretty fun. And, like, you know, being able to play as Link and have, like, the top weapon's pretty fucking cool. You know, I like the new character. What's her name? The blue-haired girl.
Yeah, she's
pretty cool.
Sia?
No, she is the bad guy.
Okay.
The bad guy.
Lana?
Oh, the other one.
Lara? Lana? Lana? Something like that. Anyway, she's got blue hair. and she's pretty cool, but yeah, like, one thing, I don't know, did you play it two-player at all?
No, I never got to try
it. So we play it almost exclusively two-player, and the way it works is that someone plays on the TV and the other person plays on the Wii U mote, or the Wii U controller, and Haruki always plays on the Wii U controller, because he doesn't want us to see that he's playing with Princess Zelda.
Oh, that's cute.
He thinks you don't know.
Well, yeah. He'll play with
Sheik.
They'll
never know.
He'll play with Sheik and Princess Zelda and Link too. Mostly.
Why
Link.
Is he ashamed of that?
I don't know. For some reason, because he used to watch videos of he would sometimes click on videos on YouTube with like a girl doing something weird, and like we were like, no, you don't watch
as
that.
As one does. Yeah.
It's not that he was like watching like Barbies, which is fine. I don't care about that. But it was kind of like more adult oriented, and I was just like, no, you can't do that. So I think he thinks that I don't want him to like look at girl things, which is bad, because I really keep trying to explain to him. Anyways, enough
also,
about
you should play the women characters as well.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a good idea. I should probably just pick the girls. But anyways, yeah, he plays on that, and I play on the TV, or my wife plays on the TV. And it's kind of weird because like the because it's splitting the screen. Like it.
Oh, on the TV, that's what it does? Even, but that doesn't make sense. If one person is playing with the controller, why would you need to do that?
Well, because what it's doing is, like, this is what I think it's doing, is that it takes a screen and it's rendering both screens at the same time, but it takes half of it for the TV and then half of it for the screen. So the fill rate, I'm getting into technological terms here, the fill rate is halved. So when you, and a good way to like kind of see this, to see what I'm talking about, is that when you have like a special effect, like you know, fire coming out or something like that, the animation is like half the speed. It's like choppier and stuff that, and things are a little bit more pixelated.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. It's like really weird. It's like it's playable, but it's a little weird looking. So
it's like when you play Mario Kart 8 with a bunch of people all the time.
Yeah.
And then everybody leaves, and then all of a sudden you're playing, and it's just the big screen. And
it's just you.
Like,
oh. So.
I mean, this game was so beautiful.
It looks good when you're playing four. I mean, it's an awesome-looking game, and I love it. It's one of my favorite games. Right. But it's just like, I was always playing with friends over, and then, like, I don't know, after like a month I was playing alone, I was like, oh my god, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and actually, so Hyrule Warriors doesn't look, it looks like a PS2 game when you play it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad. But on the other hand, Dragon Quest Heroes is
the power of the PS4.
It looks like a PS3 game.
Does it?
It looks like a PS3.5 game.
Oh, okay. A Vita game then. There we go.
No. I don't want to knock the graphics because they are nice. It is very much like a PS3 game that got like really great lighting and just like runs beautifully and stuff like that. But it doesn't. It definitely doesn't feel like a PS4 experience. But it was made for the PS3 and PS4. It's a cross-gen game.
Yeah,
so
you know, in general, I hope we get over that hump. Because, you know, you look at Yakuza, right?
Yeah.
As well. And how good would that be if it was purely PS4? Yeah. Imagine.
Japan is, like,
they're clinging.
They're clinging hard, and they need to get off it because they expect PS4 to sell.
But PS4 hasn't been selling.
Well,
so
if they expect it
games,
to sell, they got
to. I had a hard time this week getting a PS4, a big camera.
That's true. Dragon Quest Heroes has been selling PS4s. Oh, really? You'll probably see that in.
But so what I'm curious about is, I mean, is it really like just a Dynasty Warriors game? Because they kept announcing that it was more than that. And they sell it as like an action RPG. So what's the RPG stuff?
It is. Okay, for all intents and purposes, it is pretty much a Musou game. But it's not... remember when I was talking about Zelda Musou, or just Musou games in general, where it's like you're on this battlefield and you're going here and there and all that stuff? It's not really like that. The levels are a lot smaller, and it's actually more like a tower defense game.
Okay.
A lot of the stages, and I'm maybe like in the first third of the game, it is... are like basically... Oh, sorry, I'm like all over the place right now, but... you'll have this thing in the stage that you need to defend. And these little devils littered about the stage will spawn these portals.
Damn those devils.
I know, the devils. God damn it. They'll spawn these portals that'll shoot out monsters. And the monsters will all come towards whatever it is you're supposed to protect.
So you don't have big maps like in Hyrule Warriors?
So far, there are no real big maps. Mm-hmm. To win the level, basically you have to kill all those devils and all the enemies before they destroy whatever it is you're protecting.
I see.
The added strategy comes from that after you kill monsters, you can pick up coins of them and use them in battle. So like if you are say there's a stage where there's like a fork. Your little thing that you have to protect is at the very bottom, and then there are enemies coming from the left and from the right. And if you yourself just go with your party, and you have a party of like four people that you can switch from whenever you want, which is pretty cool. You take your whole party. You can't split them up.
Wait, you mean you're switching during combat?
Yeah, during combat.
So you're just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Okay. There's all sorts of characters. It's pretty cool. And so you'll take your guys into the left side, but you know you're on the right. These enemies are still coming for your guys, so you have to do something in order to combat that. You will pick up monster coins and then like you'll go over to the left side and drop off a few monsters to like stave off the attack, and then go and work your fastest to kill the guys.
Well, since
on the
you're controlling
other side.
Four characters, can you play four? Players?
No, it's one player.
Oh, okay.
Which was kind of a bummer.
I
thought it was going to be two players because I wanted to play with Haruki, but it's only one player, which is kind of lame.
And does each character feel different? Is it?
No, it's still
it's the old school.
It's still Dynasty Warriors in that aspect of it. I mean, like it's a little like. It's a little different in that.
But even if you're playing
like
a fighter versus a magic user versus they all pretty much play the same. Or?
That's not entirely true because there are some characters who have like attacks that do that give like status bonuses to your party members and stuff like that, which is different from Dynasty Warriors. And I mean, in Dynasty Warriors, you don't have like big four people parties, so that's another thing that's different. So the party makeup could affect how you do in battle like that and stuff like that. There are also like giant monsters that you can fight, kind of like that what was that Vita game that Koei Tecmo with the samurai
I know what you're talking about.
It's like Monster Hunter Dragon Quest.
Yeah.
Tokiden?
Tokiden. Yeah. And yeah, so it is a little different from Musou games. And yeah, it is like an RPG. There's a town. There's a very, like, it's not...
Yeah, I watched the video where you're in the town, and I was wondering, like, is it really something different, or is it just basically a new way to have the same menu system yeah. that you're using in
Hyrule
Warriors?
It is basically that. Yeah. It is that. But, like, the progression through the game, there are cutscenes, and you're, like, in a... I wouldn't say it's not a straight line, because at some point it opens up and you can go to different places, but it's not in so much that... Like other Musou games, you have like this person's story, and you go through that story, and it's like five stages, and then you're done. It is very much like a full story that you gather party members on as you're playing, and then it's there's like one start and one end, as far as I know. And it doesn't matter what character you pick or whatever.
And once you finish the storyline, does it look like there's other modes that you
can... I don't
know.
Okay. But there's like free DLC coming out. I think every week with like new bosses and stuff like that. So okay. I think it's a game that'll probably have a little bit of legs in my house.
So far, this versus Hyrule Warriors, who wins?
Kind of like Hyrule Warriors a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know, like the whole.
But that's the Zelda
well,
factor.
I don't know. It's like the whole tower defense thing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun to me.
It seems a little one dimensional.
Can you
right
get
now.
Rid of these portals, or do they just shit out a certain?
Yeah, no,
of
you kill the devil and the portals go away.
Okay.
And can you drop these monster coins anywhere? Are there like spots where those are like your towers? To...
No, you can drop them anywhere.
Okay.
So you can come up with your own strategies, but the strategies are like butt simple. So
and how small are we talking about these maps?
Oh man, pretty small. Like not even a. Maybe like a corner of a Dynasty Warriors.
It's like the mini-me of
right.
maps.
But I'm still in like the first, maybe, you know, third of the game. So maybe it opens up a little bit more as you go on. But right now it's kind of, right.
So this style of game, right, the Musou series, I read, it was the Polygon, I think they did a bunch of articles about Japanese developers. And so the developer was talking about, you know, hinting at, you know, I like making this kind of game, and this obviously is selling. You know, we could keep this train rolling. So yeah, where do you guys want this to go? Because it sounds like if they can't even get a two-player Dragon Quest Heroes, that would be the next bullet point
Dragon
on the next version.
Dragon Quest Heroes 2 will have...
A second player?
Oh, yeah. Nice. This is how Musou games work. You get the first one, it's like the
beta. So we got to wait
until
eight.
Too much on the first one.
It's like the beta. And
it's a 10-year plan.
Wow.
And then
it's like Destiny. There's like a 10-year plan.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's you know, with One Piece Musou, you started out with like 10 characters, most of the ones you don't really want. And then like in the second one, they add all these characters that you want. And it's going to be the same with Dragon Quest, where you start out with like, okay, yeah, these guys are kind of cool, I guess. And then the next one.
Are you having enough fun with Hyrule Warriors that you'd like a sequel? You'd like a Hyrule Warriors?
I don't know. Like, I think they pretty much covered it.
Yeah. The roster's pretty full on that.
That was a weird one where, like, maybe Nintendo was just like, no, this is probably the only time we're going to do this, so let's just
I'm glad they did it, because, like I said, I mean, I've had a lot of fun with it. More fun than I was expecting, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I got it for Haruki, and he fucking loves it, so he plays it all the time, so I'm happy about that. All right, enough about the Musous. Let's see. Hey, Thomas.
Yep.
You've been playing some games that I'd never heard of.
Okay.
I'm actually really curious about White Knight.
Oh, okay. So White Knight just came out on the PSN.
Yes.
It's created by like former employees of Eden Games, which were the game who made like driving games and the last Alone in the Dark. So
okay.
The Alone one which wasn't super good, but still I'm big fan of the Alone in the Dark series.
Okay.
So I was kind of they said, okay, we're going to make a survival horror. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy it. And it came out yesterday. So basically, it's like in the 1930s, you're playing some kind of hard-boiled guy, and you're in your car. It's late at night, and you just happen to be in a car crash. You almost, like, kill a girl.
Okay.
And you just came out of the car, and you... Fortunately, there is just a big mansion just nearby.
Oh, nice.
The mansion is haunted.
Of course.
And you're going to go in it. So the big thing about the game is like everything is monochrome. So black and white.
Ah, okay.
So the design...
Hence the White Knight.
Yeah.
Okay.
The design is amazing. The art direction is amazing. But there is this little problem about aliasing. There is a lot and lot of aliasing, you know.
Aliasing.
The aliasing.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Jaggies.
So you're like, jaggies everywhere. You're like, God damn, this game could be so beautiful. Well, there are so many jaggies.
Damn the jaggies.
Damn the jaggies.
And actually, I was expecting a survival horror, but it's not really one. Like, there are ghosts in the mansion that you need to avoid, otherwise it's game over.
Really? Okay.
But the only real survival horror element, instead of the, like... if you plus the ghost is like the fact that you need to use matches all the time.
Okay.
To, you know, get some light in the room, because if you don't have any matches left, it's game over too.
I see. Because the ghost will just eat,
yeah, just
destroy you.
Just eat you. And so the main part of the game is just puzzle. Everywhere in the mansion there are some puzzle. There are some you don't really know, but the family which were living in the mansion apparently were alchemists or something, so you need to find some runes and explore libraries, you know, of cellars course. And stuff. The art direction is amazing. The story is kind of cool. It's like it's monologue from the main characters as well as obviously journals and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's much more an adventure game, but with like the survival horror fixed cameras.
Okay,
know,
like a Resident Evil style.
Yeah. Resident Evil.
Okay.
Oh. Maybe all the Jaggies are part of the horror
yeah,
element.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
But I mean, for now, I'm.
It'd be cool if they were actual like great Jaggies.
So I've only played like 2 hours, but I'm really liking it very much for now. Mm. So I think
okay.
Yeah, they've.
Do you
done
die
it
a lot?
Actually, yeah, because I didn't understand. At the beginning, I thought like the ghosts were just popping out randomly, a bit like,
yeah,
you know, a Fatal Frame or something like that. Mm. But actually, they have like they patrol certain areas,
oh,
and sometimes like when you haven't solved the puzzle yet, they're just blocking the entrance. I was like, oh, I keep dying. I don't understand why, because I'm like, just rushing through the door.
So you solve the puzzle and then it disappears.
Yes,
that's how
that's
get rid of them.
Oh.
Okay, I see.
Interesting.
But it's still pretty scary on its own. And like, I think the best feature of the game is the fact that if you want to save, there is only one or two places. It's on an armchair. Basically, you get
your
cool guy just put on an armchair, like just sleeping. So
okay,
that's nice. But sometimes it's like it's kind of a dick move, because you will go all the way, you know, to the second floor or something, solve a puzzle, and then there will be a fucking ghost, and you're like, should I go just continue, you know, to the cellar, or should I go back, you know, to the living room to go on the armchair? So you say, okay, I'm going to save. It's been a long time. You go back and you get killed by a ghost on the way. So you're like,
no. Is the writing like 1930s style,
yeah,
like Dick Tracy type?
Yeah, it's really, yeah, really nice, and the
flat
music is
like
there's a lot of jazz, you know, music
nice
in it, so that's really cool. Yeah. It's a nice little game.
So for the ambiance,
yeah,
it's highly recommended.
Yeah,
for French,
only for the ambiance.
There
yeah
we go.
With
what
a sprinkling
about
of jaggies, just for
a little
just
jaggies.
The jaggies.
Did anybody
in
play
particular
Helldivers? No, but that just came out today,
yeah,
right?
It just came out, well, this week on Wednesday. And I mean, I'm just curious because it looks... I like twin-stick shooters.
I do, too.
I
want to play
so it
that
looks kind of interesting. But
it got really good reviews. Maybe on the next podcast, we'll probably talk about it. What about the... Well, this will be the last game, I think. We got. I mean, we could talk about
Monster
Hunter.
I want to
give Thomas one more game. The next Penelope?
Yeah.
What?
So
yeah.
The next Penelope is made by Aurélien Regard, who is like the CEO of
Hold on. Owen Aurégoire?
Aurélien Regard.
Okay, yes.
So
yeah, I got it that time.
He's like the, he was the CEO of Arcado. So
Arcado games. They made like those cat games, right?
Yeah, the cat, Pix the Cat,
for real?
Yeah,
Pix the Cat, man. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's really they made those little nice platformers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like Hell Yeah, like the Wrath of the Dead Bunny.
Yeah. I got those icons for free on PlayStation. I know what you're talking about.
They had a lot of cool games on Xbox Live indie games.
Yeah,
yes.
They did mobile stuff.
They
had
like this
stuff
really cool neon kind of 8-bit retro.
Yeah,
look.
Right. Never's
yeah
Breakdown, I think, also Never's Break. Something. Well,
yes. Well, anyways, next Penelope.
But basically, the idea is like the guy is alone. He closed his own studio, and now he's doing his game by his own. Like for 2 years, he's been developing this game by his own. Like everything, music, art, programmation, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game just like F-Zero or Rock and Roll Racing. If you remember
nice
that.
Yes, I played
so
that game. I almost lost a friend over that game.
Oh, nice.
No, yeah. I remember. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So,
yeah, that
so it's really weird because basically it's you're just racing across the universe. It's the distance and very future in space. It's inspired by a very famous cartoon in France called Ulysses 31.
Ulysses 31. Okay,
yeah.
I think I've heard of that.
So basically it's like the Greek mythology transported in the distant future. So Odysseus is missing.
Uh-huh.
You're playing as Penelope, and you need to find back your husband.
Oh.
So you need to race through the galaxy, while being hunted by Poseidon and all the bad guys,
all the monsters.
Yes.
All the...
And so you need to make to participate in different races in order, you know, to jump from galaxy to galaxy. Every level is a galaxy. There are multiple races, and at the end of each galaxy, there is like a boss.
Okay.
And the boss is usually like you got Arachnia, so like the huge spider monstrous, yeah. which here is a robot. You got like the sirens, right. everything.
So it's, wait, when you have it's a racing game, but these bosses are what you just like time trial.
It's
them,
a shoot
or?
Them up. It turns into a shoot them up when you fight the bosses.
Ah, okay, nice.
So it's really funny, and so the art direction is fantastic. Everything is really colorful. Like it's a really grand game, and it's more like Micro Machines. So you have like you get weapons, you know, as you right. go through the game. For example, you have like vampiric mines. So you put mines on the ground, and when the enemy cross them, like poof, they lose they lose their health, and you gain some back.
Wow,
so, okay, it's really a cool game. Lots of stuff and really funny.
Is that on Steam?
Yeah, Steam and PC, and I think it's coming in on console like this year.
Okay,
that's good. I didn't realize it was out because I. When you started talking about it, then it hit me. I remember when the first trailer came out, and I thought it looked amazing. Yeah. I really like the look of the game. It has like really interesting art direction. So
it's really
that's
cool.
That it's out.
All right, and you know what? Let's hold off on Monster Hunter until John gets back. Because I think he's been playing it, and you guys...
No, you guys listened to the Bobcast.
Because
they were guests, and they talked about...
Oh, really?
About Monster Hunter.
Okay, I know that they were on the Bobcast.
So you're allowed to talk. If they can talk about it on the other podcast, you can talk about it.
We're an hour in.
This is a democracy.
Like a 5 minute... Like,
hold on, I'm the guy. I was like, Johnson, I was like, it's okay. I'm looking over at
Jamie
like,
no. We're an hour into it, and we need to get to news. Sure. Speaking of which, Jon Snow, what is our news jingle? Go ahead, 3, 2, 1.
Huey Lewis in the news.
The news! Okay. Well, that was pretty good. All right. So it's GDC, guys.
That
welcome to GDC.
Woo.
That's the Game Developers Conference for those who don't know.
In the Moscone Center.
Yeah, the Moscone Center.
GDC is just looking at your Twitter timeline and seeing people have fun partying.
You know,
a lot of dark pictures of clubs and
it hasn't
parties.
Been that bad. It wasn't that bad until
today. This afternoon
today.
Was bad.
Yeah, when people were tweeting vines of the Rumpus Room.
And, oh, man. Did you hear the Zelda?
Yeah. Anyway, so GDC 2015.
Brandon Boyer shared like a vine, a 6 second
yes,
vine of that Zelda loop. I left it playing for 15 minutes.
Yeah. It was a mix of Juicy J. Bands to make her dance, and
it's by DJ Curio, who she's from Sapporo.
Sapporo, yeah. And which Zelda one? It was the Ocarina of Time password music. I can't remember. Anyways, it was cool. Check out Brandon Boyer's Brandon's. I don't know, whatever.
What's that? Brandon?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 ends.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 ends. So yeah, GDC this year is basically all about VR.
And engines.
VR and engines.
Engines that run VR.
Engines that run VR.
And it's all free. No royalties for your VR.
Well, sometimes there are, and sometimes there aren't. Yeah. VR, we got the newcomer, which would be Valve's Vive. Vive.
I still maintain. It should be the Bibe.
The Bibe? Yeah.
For the Latin market. You have to hit the Latin market.
Well, I think what it is that it's the HTC Re is like the brand label. HTC Re, and then it's Vive. So it's like Revive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's lame.
Yeah, no. It is a terrible name. It should be just like the Steam VR.
You,
I don't
you'd
know.
Think that Valve could call it whatever the fuck they want to call it. Like, why are they using HTC's branding?
HTC is like a Taiwanese company, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure it was like some Taiwanese guys in like a cubicle being like, hey, Vive,
I mean, I heard comparisons.
Americans will know what that is.
Yeah, HTC, you know, they brought about the first Android phone. They designed the first Android phone with Google, right? So they're looking at this maybe as a similar situation. So give HTC a little credit, maybe.
Right. Well, I think in this case...
No, I know HTC is huge, but I'm just saying like Valve is huge as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Gabe Newell's one of the... He's a billionaire. He's like 1,400 or something like that on that list.
But does he have a candy room?
I don't think he does. So anyways, yes. Vive is the new comer on the block, the new kid on the block. And sounds like it's pretty fucking awesome, right?
Whales.
Seems like they... Whales.
That's all I got.
Well, from the hands-ons I've been reading, I mean, it sounds like it's fantastic.
The difference in the Vive compared to the other ones is the way it attracts motion. Like, it has, like, this thing called a lighthouse.
Lasers!
There's a new technology called the lighthouse, which basically, like, paints your walls so that it's easier to track distance between things. And it lets you kind of move freely within a room without the need for like sensors like they use on the Morpheus Well, I mean, there are sensors, sort of, mm-hmm. but not in the same way.
And what's interesting also is I was reading that apparently it doesn't take up a lot of space, that you can actually, like, the equivalent of two yoga mats
yes.
could be enough to properly use that.
So it's Japan-friendly.
It's Japan-friendly. Yeah.
But the one thing about it that I thought was kind of interesting is that it comes with these, like, crazy-ass controllers. It's hard to.
So these aren't the steam controllers.
No, it's not. It's a different thing.
Oh,
they kind of look like flying saucers with dildos attached to them.
Oh, awesome!
I had no idea what you were talking about before, but now I know.
The dildo.
Yeah,
part?
You hold the dildo part, okay. and there are the flying saucers that cover your hand. But these are like
part on top. Okay.
Yeah, they're. I'm assuming they're sensors that help you kind of move. No,
or maybe they're just dildos.
I'm saying dildos because phallic things. Yeah. That's what I think. Right. But like, they honestly do look like they could be used as dildos. That aside,
maybe they got
VR is entering this realm.
Hey, it's gonna be necessary.
It's gonna happen.
Actually, it's already happening. But these controllers have buttons for your fingers, and so the impressions I read said that this was kind of like the big game changer in the whole thing. Is that like you can in the world reach out and grab something, and they're haptic. So when you grab something, you kind of feel it.
Yeah. Oh, it gives the right resistance.
Right.
Oh.
So that's kind of like part of like that and the sensor are like the two game changing things for me.
Is there like an example? Like you pick up a water balloon and you press the button and it's like squishy versus you pick up a rock. And
I don't know about that, but they like picked up a screw or something like that and it felt like they were picking it up.
Huh.
So yeah, that kind of is like, I think that's one of the things where like, VR will be successful when the gap between what you're doing in the VR and what you're actually doing are like, you know, as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this is kind of moving towards that. But one thing I'm kind of starting to see is that like all these VR things have all these fucking peripherals. It's like there's no way that any of these are going to be
uniform and
uniform or like
the standard. They all seem to be playing nice with each other, but there has to be at some point a standard where break it down, not 3-4 different controllers for each different individual VR system.
Well, you got 3 different VRs and 3 different ways to track how this all happens. And in the end, someone's going to have to win out. Who it's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're witnessing the race for that.
Yeah.
3, I mean 4.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Microsoft as well.
4, but that's a little different. It's not VR, it's AR.
HoloLens.
HoloLens is more AR. I mean, yeah, I guess that you could put them in there, but really, I don't know.
What's the sound like for this thing? Do you need to wear headphones?
Yeah, but I think they come on.
I think they're in the headset somehow.
Okay.
The Morpheus is the only one.
No, I think now they don't, but they said the consumer version would have.
Okay. Yeah, Morpheus needs to. But apparently Morpheus is also really... I think a lot of people are ignoring Sony because like everybody knows Oculus, everybody... knows Valve, and Valve's the new kid on the block, and they got all this crazy new technology. But apparently, like, the Morpheus has been kind of like the hit of the show, where, like, people are saying, like, this is kind of like the best VR experience.
It's because of the schoolgirls, right?
Because schoolgirls.
No, they didn't bring them this time, but I think it's that OLED, you know, like the screen, you know, resolution makes
a
big difference.
120 hertz, so 60 frames per eye, I think, is what that's supposed to be. Yeah. That's pretty fucking huge. I think.
Yeah.
The low latency, it's less than 18 milliseconds, which is most monitors, non-gaming monitors, are like 13, something like that. So 18 is pretty close to what you would get from like a regular system. So like that feedback is almost instant. And yeah, I'm really curious. Hopefully, Mark and Sean, if you're listening to this, I hope you guys are playing.
These
they
VR better be
things.
All up in that. Seriously.
Yeah, not partying, not doing very important meetings with people who will give us money.
Think about virtual parties, man. Yeah. Think about GDC in like 5-10 years.
Exactly.
We can all go.
It's going to be virtual. Guys, we need to get on the ground floor.
I think Valve missed a huge opportunity, though. Like, I was talking with friends Monday night before the announcement, like, before Valve had their conference. I was thinking, joking, that imagine this, okay? So we knew about the VR thing. And then at Valve's conference, we have the VR thing. Here are the new Steam machines. Works together. And Half-Life 3, MMO,
boom.
Virtual world.
Drop the mic.
That's it. That's all you need. No more. They don't make any more games. Everything is just in Half-Life 3. And
currently, they don't make any games. So, you know.
they just support one.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I wasn't expecting...
They just released a game engine.
I know that, yes. And
why would they make a new game engine?
Well,
other people can make games.
Well, no, I think that's a good point. Source 2 is probably a pretty good hint that Half-Life 3 is coming, but I don't think they announced Half-Life 3 at GDC. I think that's going to be at E3.
Or their own event.
In how many years?
The way these companies do it these days is they have their own event.
Well, yeah. Mm. They'll have their own event around E3. I write this down. JJ says.
Okay. Oh, stake bet?
No.
I don't have the money.
Put it on the board.
I just bought a car, guys.
Okay, okay. Nikuman bet. Nikuman bet.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Nikuman bet that Half-Life 3 will be announced this year around
E3. Cherry on top VR?
So does anybody want to say they disagree?
I disagree.
I would
take that bet.
Oh, wow.
You might be seeing a lot of Nikuman, but I think we're going to be eating good.
All right, fine. Jeez. Well, we'll see. Nikuman is on the table, and they'll be Family Mart Nikuman. But, and no special, like, Funashi ones either.
Jeez.
Or we could do 7-Eleven donuts now.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
We do that? Good.
Nice.
So along with all the VR stuff, let's just go through Valve here. They also announced, and this is the thing I'm most excited about, Steam Link.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is like the Chromecast for Steam, basically. And it's also, I think it's also like a router and...
$50, not that bad.
$50 is good, and it has a USB port so you can extend... I'm sure there's like a dongle for the for the Steam controller that you can just plug in to that and extend the distance.
Sure.
I don't think I quite understand what is the Steam.
It'll shoot
from any device to your TV.
Right.
So from your computer, whatever games you have in your Steam library and your computer.
Yeah.
It streams them to basically what the PlayStation TV does.
Yeah, yeah, it's home sharing that you don't need another computer for. Right now, you need another computer to do home sharing.
Throw that 10-foot HDMI cable out.
With Steam machines, PCs,
that's what
Macs,
I actually
and,
have a
5-foot Linux machine.
Oh. Yeah. So yeah, I'm super pumped about that. The Steam controller was also there. Did you guys see any?
I watched like on Kotaku. They had like a video of clicking around. Yeah. So there's three. It's interesting that there's three triggers in the back. There's like an extra thing here.
Wow!
Like if you're holding
where
it like
is
that,
where's here? People on
where
back and under,
like
kind of
behind
back.
My palms. I guess.
Okay,
yeah, where the tips of your like middle fingers. Would
and so,
be.
Okay. In the demonstration, they were saying that what they had suggested is you use that button to use like a shift key for extra functions on the buttons that are on the
front. So, Jingo, you played with the first rendition or the first public rendition of the.
That's all about it.
Yeah, last year at GDC, like it was pretty barren at the time. I was walking around, and it was like Friday afternoon, so I had all the time in the world to mess around with this newfangled Steam controller. I was just wondering how they're going to pull off a keyboard mouse solution in your hands like that, and it. Honestly, guys, it didn't play. It felt really unresponsive, or at least not as. Yeah. It's not a replacement for a mouse. Playing Portal was a real chore for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, now it has an analog stick, which it didn't have before.
It was all haptic before, so at least they gave that concession. But still, when you got that haptic.
And from the impressions I read, it still seems like it's really difficult to play first-person shooters with, but I think... I don't want to judge it off like a fucking show demo, because, like, you know, you get a controller... You gotta spend some time with it and
take it out to dinner.
Take it out to dinner.
Get to know it a little better.
Yeah,
and then,
you know. You don't get married to a controller after one day.
No, not
unless
exactly.
You're crazy.
I see Duracell. Is this like you have to use batteries?
It's wireless.
It's wireless.
Can you
do rechargeable batteries?
I don't know. I kept that photo in there
because it was interesting to see. Yeah. Not a power pack, but like actual battery
solution. Yeah, I don't like that.
Do you guys like the look of it? Do you think it looks comfortable?
It still looks like
an owl.
Because I saw a lot of people making fun of it, and it looked like it's just like, oh, let's just put a bunch of buttons on there. And
someone was comparing it to the Homer car. Andrew Vestal was saying that, but. Yeah, I don't know.
Controllers you got to hold to really judge.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
I'm a new idea guy. I will give it a shot, and I will probably defend it until I just. If it really truly sucks, then you know, I'll admit it. But right now, I just really want to play it. I want to try it, and I want
to
give it a shot.
To me, it looks interesting because I don't like playing games with keyboards.
Really,
even first person shooters. I'm on the same page,
and I'd like to play more PC. Type games, but I don't like sitting down and like.
So shooters
with a mouse
are good with the controller.
Yeah, I just play. So I'm curious to see how it works. And I mean, Valve is not a dumb company, so true. I'm figuring they put some thought into this, and they've been testing it over and over and over. So I'd like to give it the benefit of the doubt before. Sure. I say it sucks. You know, I'd like to be able to try it and see.
Right. Yeah. And they also announced the fabled Steam Machine.
Apparently, well, those are coming. Anything. That's well, disappointing.
They didn't really announce anything, but
Two companies showing some there.
Yeah. No, there's a whole bunch.
No, there's a whole bunch of companies.
Yeah. Oh.
And like iBuyPower, Falcon Origin.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you build a machine on Newegg, like these are all names that you've seen. You
yes.
know?
Yeah.
So it's kind
of what was interesting though, what I liked is that they said, okay, the Steam Machines are going to come out in November.
Mm-hmm.
They had like all these partners, and then they used the words, they said it's going to be the same price as a console.
Yeah, that's kind of falling by the wayside.
But more powerful. Well, that's the wording they said.
Yeah,
that's
no,
said.
I mean, so there are
expensive than a console.
There are some. There's one that's
the price of a console. So that would be between $300 and $400.
There's one here that costs $460.
One.
Oh, there's another one that starts from $300. It goes up to $1,300.
Wow,
but
that's
like
a huge range.
But there are some that are like that start at 2,000 and go up to 5,000.
Yeah, these things get.
But for me, just this whole strategy, like I was so disappointed last year when they first made the announcement. I really wanted Valve to come out with basically a sort of console,
simple solution,
a simple solution. Like I see all my friends getting back into like PC gaming and stuff, and I don't want to fucking dick around with graphics cards and shit like that. Right. I want to play a lot of PC games. There's a lot of great games coming out, and then you get great deals on Steam sales and all that. But I want a simple solution. I want something.
Yeah,
and,
it still
but
takes.
This is not it. This is just like.
Well, it is and it isn't. Because what you're buying here is like, it's almost like a. It's like the Steam seal of approval, right?
Yeah.
You buy it and you know that you can play the latest games on it. Basically, it's a computer that you buy that you can play the latest.
Yeah,
PC
but if
games.
I'm buying a Steam machine that's $500 and a Steam machine that's $2,000, I'm not really getting the same thing, right? And I want to play games like they're supposed to look.
Like,
I mean, that's why I stopped playing PC games in the first place.
Well, then just buy the more expensive one. It's like,
but then it's like
there's no question.
It still
right?
feels like they're just targeting PC people at this point now. Yeah. They're not trying to like bridge the gap, really.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It just seems like it seems more. It's definitely not like the console, PC console that everybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I do think it still has
value. I'll just keep playing my indie games on the PS4.
Yeah. it's like a PC for people who, like a gaming PC for people who don't know what a gaming PC
means. But you see, like, you got, you know, as bad as it is, that Windows experience number, right? Like, every layman can look at that and say, I'm a 6.5, that's a 7. Oh, that one's better than the other. But for gaming, like, NVIDIA's done a little bit with the GeForce Experience program where it simplifies, like, hey, like, these are the settings that on your computer it would look better, and it automatically sets it. So if it moves more in that direction where it's, you know, you don't have to know how many gigabytes in your GPU is going to make a difference here or there, that's where it has to go, but it's still far away.
Right. I think it's still far, but at least, you know, someone like Mark who's like, hey, JJ, buy me a gaming PC. All I have to do is be like, oh, here's a Steam machine. That'll run exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Instead of
Alienware's like still in business. And I mean, it's like, you know, the Dell option of putting it together. And it's somewhat simple. But yeah, you can't go into BitCamera and pick up a gaming PC.
Right. So, but, NVIDIA to the rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Shield.
It's like NVIDIA is like the, what is in Frosty the Snowman, the Island of Misfit toys.
Whoa, man. Where'd like, that come from?
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking Redhead Stepchild. I was thinking all kinds of other.
NVIDIA is like the company of Misfit
come on.
Console.
They're the cool
hybrid,
kids because
they wear
leather jackets when they give presentations.
Yeah. Just like, guys.
Is there a hoodie in there too?
Like, they really desperately want to make a device. It's very clear that that is what they want to do, but. The Shield that they made last year was...
Well, Thomas, you had it, right?
Yeah, I have an NVIDIA Shield, the first one.
Yes.
The one you can
Cheapy,
play.
Cheapy had one, too.
Yeah.
He brought it to the office.
Seal of approval, right? It was a good product.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, on...
The controller felt cheap to me.
No, it's not cheap, trust me.
Well, I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive, but it's also nice to play with, and it's extremely powerful. And me, I was expecting an NVIDIA Shield 2, actually, at this conference.
Well, you got it.
I got, like, a fucking new Ouya or something.
Yes, it is very much like the new Ouya. It's like... sorry, I'm saying, like, too much. It is another Android console.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Thought these things died last year, but there was...
I just wonder who's the target for the... Like, I mean, we're obviously not the target because we don't get excited to see, oh, Crysis 3. Like, you know, games... I mean, it's interesting to see that you'll be able to play these games that are fairly powerful on this device, but we've played these games a while back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So who are they targeting?
Made,
like,
it.
And I don't know. I just
they're just trying to make fetch.
Yeah, they're all about streaming, but when you saw during the presentation like Borderlands being streamed with the NVIDIA Shield, whatever, it was horrible. There were like slowdown everywhere, and it was really bad. So, and what's the point of having like a super powerful Android Tegra X1 whatever if you just want to stream things? I mean,
yeah, it doesn't make much sense. Maybe they're targeting like Asia. Maybe some Indonesians need an Android call. I don't know.
I think the CEO is just insane. I mean,
yeah, they got more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah.
And you know, Microsoft was there.
Oh, nice.
They showed off a whole bunch of indie games, some of that which looked pretty cool. There was I don't know if you saw this, but the Shovel Knight was announced for Xbox One, and it came with a Battletoads cameo.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. For the record, Battletoads, not a great game. Not actually a good game either.
Cool characters.
And yeah, that, it was kind of a kind of a radical thing back then. And everybody remembers that, like the race,
the motorcycle,
the motorcycle thing. But like,
legendary,
you know,
difficult.
Battletoads 1 was as good as it got, and then they did like that thing with Double Dragon that was just like, what the fuck was
that?
Oh
man, I think I actually like that.
Battletoads.
Now that you mentioned that,
when we were kids, we
you like shitty stuff when you're a kid. That's true. That's
so
true.
It's kind of weird that people are like talking about, but I mean, like people like Rare, so whatever. So yeah, they showed off a whole bunch of indie games.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. They also
The important thing though is that they're all talking about like basically cross games between Windows 10, crossplay between Windows 10 and
that's
Xbox
what I'm
One.
Get into.
I'm sorry.
Stealing that thunder.
So Phil Spencer finally announces a reason to actually buy Windows again. Windows 10.
I think we're all getting it free though because it's the upgrade situation.
That's
right.
But if you were stuck with XP,
but why would you want to upgrade if it's something like a Vista, right? So true.
Well, yeah.
True.
So yeah. Basically, they are doing the kind of Apple sort of thing where games will be cross-buy. Cross-play over Windows and Xbox, and I guess Windows Mobile, if that's still a thing in 2 years. I think that's great.
To be honest, yeah, it's a smart move.
And there's a development
they're in second place right now, and this is a way to get people to come and make games because they can sell them on PC and they can sell them on
exactly. And it's one thing I've always wanted because like there's a lot of games I want to play on my console. That I only own for PC because I got it on a Steam sale or something like that. Mm. But if I could get a game off my Xbox to play it on my computer and vice versa, that's huge for me. Yeah. Someone who is also a PC gamer. That's really gets me excited for Windows 10. Hopefully it'll be better than Windows 8. I've been using Windows 8 for the past month. And that is a piece
8.1? Yeah, so 8.1 kind of smoothed things out for me.
It smoothed things out. Do you use multiple monitors?
No, I don't. Not at home.
Every time I wake up in the morning, my monitors and my windows are in different places.
Wow.
It's fucking annoying.
I'm sure it's a feature somewhere.
And in Windows 7, if I had my TV off, it wouldn't open Windows on my TV. It would know. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it would know, but it just wouldn't do it. But now, in Windows 8.1, I open up a fucking iTunes, and it's on my TV, and there's a prompt on that I can't see. And I can't move the
fucking
prompt.
Are you listening, Microsoft?
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. And there's another fucking bug where, sorry.
It's getting off his chest.
Let me vent about Windows 8 here for a second. Because
I'm going to pull a mark and say you got 15 seconds. Jay,
okay, 15 seconds. I've had to go into the registry to fix things, more than I've had to go into the registry since Windows fucking ME to fix things. moving Windows from monitor to monitor, there was this fucking thing where you had... you had to have a certain amount of velocity to move it to another monitor.
15 seconds are up, Jason.
Yeah, it was...
I just want to say, when I was going through all my stuff, I found my CV, my resume, for when I first came to Japan in 1998.
Okay.
And I was looking at it in my skills. In my skills,
Office.
I put down Windows 3.x and Windows 95.
Okay. Highly sought after skills.
Those are my skills.
I was going to say, though, this crossplay, how much do you think this would have helped Jake with Skills of the Shogun back in the day?
Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Maybe a little
bit. The crossplay also goes to HoloLens as well.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's true. That's
whether it's important or not, but it's
interesting.
It'll
give it. Yeah, it gives you something
to play
with.
I don't understand what games would work on both systems, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so on the other side of GDC... we got the Battle of the Engines.
Yep.
Unity.
Round one.
Unreal. Source 2.
So all free with an asterisk, basically.
And like, so Gian Riccitiello.
I think we know how to say that name now, don't we?
Gian
Riccitiello?
There we go. Extrapolate it from our friends over there.
Riccitiello, I think, actually, because there's three I's.
Somebody
there.
Correct us, please.
Was kind of comparing Epic's model to like a free to play game. So Unreal Engine 4 is now free, but you have to pay a certain amount of royalties if you sell it.
If you make over $3,000, I think then it's
right.
a percentage.
Net revenue, right.
Yes. And so in Unity...
Which is compared to like, you know, what you're giving Apple if you're selling on the iTunes store. That's 30%.
True, right. but now you're paying to Apple and you're also paying to Epic.
If it's an app.
So that's kind of like a, I don't know, it's not doesn't seem like a very good situation.
But the same applies for like the Source engine, because apparently there's a thing that says the game has to be sold.
It has to be sold on Steam.
So they're going to take a cut from.
They're going to take a cut, but you can release that on anywhere else, and they won't get a cut from that. Yeah. So that's nice.
They take 40%.
And
is it 40%?
30%.
Oh, 30%. Okay.
And it looks like Apple, Unity is basically free.
Mm-hmm.
For just like, you know, the personal edition. If you're a student, you're trying to figure things out, you're making small games.
I think all around it's free.
The pro edition is...
No, pro is $75.
Yeah, it's $75 a month.
Even now? After the announcement?
Yeah.
It's $75 a month or $1,500 for perpetual license. For the pro version.
I don't know what... I'm no developer, but I don't know what the difference would be between that $75 a month version.
Yeah, but I think
the personal
one was already free. I think it's that the pro is...
Well, no, it was what was, like... Basically, now there's like a new
level. I was talking to Hawking King yesterday,
and
that's what he said. He was paying for the license, and now he doesn't have to pay anymore for the pro version.
Right, but apparently it says right here.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
It says right here. There is a version that you have to pay
for. Let's trust the printout from the internet.
Hey, man, source that.
There you go.
Right. Let it go.
My credibility's on the line here.
But
the same idea, basically, all these companies are
having. Which engine are you going to use?
Yeah, man.
For your game that you're making.
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's great for indie developers right now that they have these choices.
I think
now.
Some are greater than others. I think if you're an indie guy, I probably wouldn't go with Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have the
or
most.
Or if you're free to play,
you have a big breadth, you know, options with Unity, right? And you see that now trickle into like Vita. Like you wouldn't expect Unity to be on Vita a couple years ago, but it's a good shot in the arm.
Oh man, Unity's everywhere now.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on my microwave.
They're
at home.
So hot. It's on your microwave.
Is your microwave dead?
I don't know. Yeah, no, it's not dead. It grew legs with the housemate that just left. So.
Oh no. Oh, shit. The engine stuff is interesting, I guess. We'll see how it shakes out. I think it's funny though because like, much like during the Xbox 360 era, Japan has nothing. There's no. Nothing. I mean, it's. Come on, guys.
It is coming. I believe.
Maybe the Fox engine.
Futatsugi-san will not let us down.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah,
well. He'll be
the
savior.
Do you think the Fox engine? Do you think?
I don't know. Probably not. It's Japan. They won't release it. They don't like giving things away here. Free to play on console.
I get tissues a lot.
Tissues they give the
one ply.
Okay, I got to make an aside for the tissue thing. I at first thought it was very annoying. And by the way, if you haven't been in Japan, I didn't know this at all. But you walk around, you get out of the train station, and instead of flyers, they hand you a little packet of tissues with an ad on it.
Yes.
And you think, what am I going to do with tissues, man? But especially when it's with balls cold outside, and you get into a hot place, your nose starts running, or you're sweating, it comes in super handy.
Yes.
But I've noticed many times they see a foreigner come, and they suddenly put their hands to their chests.
Yeah.
I tweeted about this the other night, because I was like in dire need of tissues.
No, that's known.
I stood up in front of them, and I'm like, "Onegai shimasu, please, could I have a tissue?" Oh, okay, here's this guy, you know, almost 6 foot, standing right next to me.
I noticed in Shibuya, there's that one corner near the 109 where they just leave the boxes of tissues out. And if you want, you can just grab some.
Man,
I mean, you're not
stock
supposed
up.
To, but you could.
You could, technically. Yeah.
It's like the take a penny.
Yeah.
Take a penny.
They're shitty tissues anyway. They kind of like... Yeah. They irritate the nose.
But I do wonder like why they would do that, because I mean I'm sure they are paid to get rid of all these.
Right. They'd want to get rid of
these.
Is it because
these inspectors that are kind of like secretly checking and they don't want foreigners to get them because maybe the ads are not targeted at them.
They probably think we won't understand the ads, won't follow through and go to the place, which we're not going to.
Well,
most of us.
Yeah, because a lot of them are.
But I'm just saying like these people who are doing this, like it's an arbaito. I mean they're just doing it to like, okay, I want to get
they're not worrying about the hit ratio of these tissues.
Yeah. But I guess it's like you have
have to work until the box is empty. Mm-hmm. Like, you going in the box helps them, basically.
They were throwing magazines at me the other night when I was walking to the Shibuya station.
Hot pepper.
Right, right. Mm. They were just throwing them at me. I was like, give me tissues. I don't want magazines.
The dirty little secret in Shibuya is that a lot of those tissues that they hand out are for like Capricorn websites or email things that women can sign up for if they want to deal in, like, get a job in prostitution.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And when I say prostitution, I mean like hostesses and stuff.
Okay,
like that.
Hostess club.
The word prostitution in Japan means a whole bunch of things. Right. It doesn't always mean, like, you know, prostitutes.
Yeah, it runs the gamut of like a dentist office putting on a tissue.
It's like, or like hookup lines where you can like hook up with guys and all sorts of things. It's
just give me tissues, man.
Part of the reason why they're not giving it to you is because you're not like a 20-year-old girl with bleach blonde hair and.
Why
I was about to stop you, the 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go with the
Gyaru, basically.
Gyaru, yeah.
By the way, do you know the Starbucks that's right across the street from Bunkamura in Shibuya?
Yeah.
I would suggest go to the, because I go to Starbucks with my dogs. We can sit outside. And just look at the girls that are sometimes waiting there.
Okay.
And then sometimes go up the little street that's right next to the Starbucks where all the low hotels are.
Oh. And so, I've noticed a lot of people stand against the wall there. And I was like, what are they doing?
Stretching. It's
no,
stretching.
We've, me and my wife, we've kind of, okay. No, it's like a game. We kind of, okay, yes. I bet you that.
There are times in Shibuya where you'll look at a couple and be like, huh. That's a little
There's
weird.
Something off there. But you know what? I'm going to let it slide. Yeah. I'm not from here, and you never know.
They could be brother and sister and just have really different interests.
And a big age gap.
Yeah. But anyway.
Tissue talk's over.
Enough
guys.
About that. Let's see. No Man's
Sky. And then
Sky.
The girl comes back and she's got wet hair.
Oh. No Man's Sky is so big the developers built space probes to explore for them.
That's pretty
yeah,
neat.
These are the kind of talks I like at GDC where you get to see, you know, they peel the onion back a little
bit. It just really makes me, like, makes me think of Star Trek and, like, The Next Generation where, like, you know, Picard would ask Worf to send out a probe and he'd be like, I'd like to send out a probe. And then Worf would be like, aye, sir. No, I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. That was a good Sean Connery.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
It wasn't supposed to be Sean Connery. It
I know.
Came out wrong. I got all nervous when you guys were like getting all quiet.
I don't watch Star Trek, so I was waiting for the.
Oh, okay. Anybody? Yeah. Well, no, you're a B5 guy, Thomas.
Yeah,
I've seen all of Star Trek.
Great.
Oh, nice.
All of JJ always explains that, like, there's certain episodes you should just not watch.
In the first two seasons.
Yeah.
In the first two seasons, there are stuff you should.
I've watched all of Star Trek as it aired.
Wow. Hardcore, man.
Except the original series.
Okay, of course.
I'm going to say that 63 age estimate was not too far off.
Yes. Let's see. Ono talking about why we haven't heard about Deep Down.
Deep Down, man.
What was the reasoning?
We're thinking about showing something that looks completely different from what we've previously shown, although it might be a while from now. So in other words, we're remaking the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. It's good corporate speak for...
It's too bad because it sounded interesting. Like, I thought it was
the very first reveal,
apparently
right?
Apparently, it had that kind of Assassin's Creed thing where there's the modern or future
and
world.
Yeah,
right. There are like these little things in the demo I played. There were these little things that you picked up and you can hear voices from
little memories. You're going after memories, right?
Yeah. Battletoads and Shovel Knight. We talked about that. Danganronpa 3 is in development.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. What? Wait, you said
I don't like Danganronpa, so...
Really?
I wanted to throw that out there to see, because I still got both of them on my Vita, and I've played maybe an hour or two of the first one, so I got quite a backlog, but I wanted to see if I threw this name out there, like, at the table of you guys, like, what's your assumption?
I want to play them, I just haven't gotten around to it. I know, I like those kind of...
Yeah, visual novels, like, right? Yeah, they got some...
I'll admit, I haven't played them, but I know, like, there's people that I talk to who, like, I respect the kind of games that they're into... And all I've heard is good, like, positive stuff. Like, it brings you in with this cast of characters, and then it, like, crushes you with the terrible things that happen.
Right.
And
it's like Game of Thrones.
Formula.
Game of Thrones with schoolgirls.
But Thomas, what was your... What did you not like about it?
Well, I finished the first one. I thought it was a kind of Frankenstein monster between, like, Phoenix Wright and 999, so, like, Virtue's Last Reward, which, to me, were amazing game. Yeah. But this one was more like, to me, Danganronpa is like just, let's take those anime stereotypes and just force them through your mouth so you can like play for like 12 hours. And at the end, I was like, fuck, I don't give a shit.
So the characters are not interesting and the story's not interesting? For you, then?
For me, of course. Okay. But I know that there are many people who love it and I can understand. But to me, it was too much.
Because that's the thing. I mean, I like Virtual Zansa and I like the Phoenix Red games. Mm-hmm. So I figured I'll like this as well.
You should. like, give it a shot. I mean, it's, maybe it's me, like, the smug asshole Frenchman who don't like anything.
You're not the target market, maybe. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Do you like Clay Fighter?
No.
Okay.
Clay Fighter.
I gotta say,
isn't there a copy
where I sit here in the office? Yes. If I move my head a few centimeters to the left,
that's right.
I am facing a Super Clay Nintendo Fighter. Boxed copy of Clay Fighter.
That's right, Clay Fighter, the game that the only redeeming thing was the theme song,
just below a Killer Instinct box.
That's right,
yeah.
Killer Groove.
Not sure about that ranking there. I don't know.
Is coming back. Clay Fighter is getting remastered.
Everyone was waiting for that.
Yeah. You can't see that, but I just made a face like, really?
Scratch that off my bucket list.
Everybody did when they heard that.
It'll feature returning fighters like Bad Mr. Frosty.
wait for it.
Blue Suede Goo.
Wait,
I fucking love Blue Suede Goo because he, like, every time he does an attack, he goes, "Hey, watch, I hurt my own."
Oh, God.
Over and over again. So you're just like, "Hey, watch, I hurt my own."
He talks just like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like you got some voice acting work lined up.
I'm from Memphis. My Elvis is impeccable. Earthworm Jim, because you like... I don't know what Hoppy... Hoppy was the spring. That's right. Boogerman.
Boogerman, that's what I was waiting for.
Boogerman was in the game. He was in the N64 version. Because, you know, Boogerman. And Tiny.
Megaton right there. Boogerman coming back.
And Tiny... who was?
I'm
like
sure
he's
very big. Yeah.
Man.
I mean, did you guys play? I remember the game, but I never played.
I played it at my friend Justin's house a lot.
Justin.
We were Justins. We were friends.
I think we just seen.
He introduced me to Labyrinth, one of my favorite movies of all time. He's
was it?
Guy.
Was it ever out in arcades? Clay Fighter. What was the Clay dinosaur one?
That was Primal Rage.
Primal Rage.
That was so that was like, I figured Clay Fighter was made by...
I like, Primal Rage, but that game was terrible.
I loved it, man. I loved it. Like, there was
like Rise of the Robots. It's horrible.
Yeah, Rise of the Robots. Another terrible game. But yeah, Clay Fighter was not a good game, but it's coming out on PC.
Whether you like it or not.
They're going to add things like double jumping, air dashing, counters, and reversals.
Oh, well, it has double jumping now.
It's a contention for Evo next year.
It's going to be... if it's at Evo, I will shit my pants.
I saw... what's it called? Dive Kick at Tokaigi.
Dive Kick is
it's alive and well in Japan.
It's
alive. Let's not say well.
But so anyways, we got a few more stories here. World of Warcraft is gonna be you're gonna be able to play World of Warcraft without having to pay a subscription. And to do that, you get these WoW tokens. WoW tokens.
Wow.
Wow tokens.
You can purchase them off the auction house with in-game gold. Once purchased, can be redeemed for 30 days of game time.
So it's like a free-to-play, right?
Interesting.
It's the best. Yeah, yeah, they can't call it free-to-play, but it's...
It's almost free-to-play, which is great. I think it's been past due, and I think a lot of people probably have shitloads of gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing that you can do in EVE Online, right?
Yes.
I mean, you've been able to do that. So it rewards hardcore players, I guess, people who play so much that they won't have trouble, you know, getting enough gold to buy that. But I really thought they were going to go free to play.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this makes it easy for people to resub, kind of, quote unquote,
right.
Resub with the gold they've accumulated.
Well, we'll see how like expensive these things end up being. But
yeah.
Hopefully.
They're going after gold.
They shouldn't be too hard. So, yeah, that's really cool. I think that's pretty forward thinking of Blizzard. We'll see how that actually works out. Hey, you guys, you ever play the game Star Tropics?
Yeah.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, Star Tropics was a game for the NES. It was kind of like a Zelda, American-made Zelda 2 almost, or a Zelda game, I guess you could say. You were like this kid with a yo-yo, and you'd go into dungeons and stuff like that.
As you do.
As you do, yeah, as a kid with a yo-yo.
Appropriate weapon.
By the way, what happened to yo-yos? You don't see yo-yos as weapons in games.
I used to be sick at yo-yos.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
Sorry, just...
What about skateboarding while you're yo-yoing?
Yeah, you were a 90s kid, man.
I'm definitely a 90s kid.
So
you could do, like, Walk the Dog?
Walk the Dog was nothing, man.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Could do, like, the swings and things?
I could make, like, a triangle.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is called, by the way. I forgot all the terms.
And you go like this?
Yes, it would go through the triangle.
Oh, wow.
Good times.
So, Star Tropics, apparently, for all this time, I don't know if you know this, some of the songs in the game were broken.
Yeah.
Due to a bug, like a memory bug, would cause parts of the track to stop playing after a certain amount of time. And some wonderful person, like, hacked into the game and fixed it. So for now, for the first time ever, you're able to hear the real music.
Whoa. Would it just be eerie silence before?
Yeah.
No, it would be like, there would be like a backing track that would just like, a weird sound would play and it would cut out. And you wouldn't be able to hear it. But now you can. I'll put a link to this story in our.
That's interesting though, because I think it came out on Virtual Console last year.
Yeah.
So that would have the broken music.
It would still have the broken music. Mm. Yes. So you can download a patch for this if you've got a ROM.
Nice.
And do it. But there's also a YouTube video, and I'll put the YouTube video in the show notes. So check it out. It's pretty cool. Let's see. Sega Genesis got a 16-bit visual novel. That's interesting.
People are still making cartridge games. Yeah.
Watermelon Games. Awesome. The people who did Pierre Solar. Okay, yeah, it's called Sacred Line Genesis for the Sega Genesis.
So for $40, you can straight up put something new in your Sega Genesis.
That's kind of cool.
In the year 2015. Yeah.
Or in your Retron 5.
Exactly. This is kind of interesting. GameStop, is accepting used PS2s for trade-in again.
How much are we talking? This piece of history.
$20, $25.
Don't do it. Hold on to your PS2s.
Yeah, no. What this sounds like to me is that GameStop is seeing like SNES game prices, prices, PlayStation game prices, and they see PS2 like games disappearing from the market, and they get these things. Yeah, they're gonna stockpile, and then they're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, we're selling retro games now," and they'll probably make all that.
Man, for $20, you got space in your closet to keep that.
I think so too. Yeah. EA shut down Maxis Emeryville, studio behind SimCity. Yeah, that kind of sucks. Mm. 4 out of 40 for them. Hopefully, they land on their feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the middle of GDC.
The middle of GDC, that's like. Hey guys, celebrate development in the industry. Also, you're fired. But hey, maybe they can go to GDC and find jobs.
Man, oh man.
Let's see. There's an interview about Drive Club, so we're going to have to skip that. Gold Mario Amiibo sold out in 10 minutes.
Okay, so this is John's where we hit the Amiibo.
Yeah, John's not here, but I looked at the eBay prices, and they're like $80 for a $10 fucking figure. And it's not real gold, people. It's not real gold. It's just colored gold.
When you could pre-order them, I mean, people were sharing like $200. That's what people were selling them on
eBay. It's ridiculous.
But apparently, you'll still be able to go to Walmart on the day of release and get some.
If you beat several people to death.
Is it limited in quantity or just
life in America?
Limited in quantity or just limited to Walmart selling it? Because if you wait a month or two later,
it's probably both.
They're limited, and you can only
But in other Amiibo news, apparently Nintendo's reprinting some very rare Amiibos. At least here in Japan, Villager, Little Mac, Captain Falcon.
In Japan.
So who has Amiibos?
So far,
here?
Just in Japan, I do.
You got Amiibos.
I got like Thomas. four or five Amiibos.
I got nine.
So I'm waiting.
I would have more if I was not moving.
Yeah,
that is basically why I stopped buying them. I'm like, I'm moving. I cannot buy more Amiibo.
What about a Monster Hunter Amiibo? Would that get you in the mix?
My whole thing is like, I think they're kind of ugly.
Yeah.
No,
I think they're
nice.
Too big.
I think
they're too
nicer than I thought they'd be.
No, they're nice. Buy them.
Right. Look at this.
They look that's the other thing. I don't like how it brings up consumerism in people.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of gross.
It is. I think somebody had mentioned this, the possibility of it becoming like a gachapon thing, or like smaller, cheaper, cuter.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
Small form factor.
Then
that would be cool. Mm. Make a game that does. Oh, I mean, they did do that kind of, but with a Pokemon Scramble game.
Well, it's been. I mean, they've said that they might come out with cards, basically, that have the same functionality.
I want
these.
A good,
but
like collectible card
figures.
Game
I think
that does that.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So they're reprinting some of them. I listed Villager, Little Mac, and Captain Falcon, but apparently there's some others.
Toon Link, maybe, because that one's been
maybe
sold out.
Yeah.
Is this because of demand or
demand?
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
That's it. News is over. We're done.
That was good. We covered a lot of news.
Yeah.
We did early.
The whole industry, top to bottom. Retro to VR.
Pats on the back, guys.
Round of applause to JJ.
I'd applaud if I didn't have to hold this microphone so awkwardly.
Yeah, sorry. Next week we'll be down to Thomas. Thomas is going on vacation, but we'll be plussing a John and a Sarah. So stay tuned for next episode. Mm. Where can people find us, Roy?
Oh, God, you've never had me do this before.
I know,
on the spot.
The Facebooks.
We have a
I
Facebook.
Know that one. Twitter at 84play.
Okay.
NeoGaf.
NeoGaf. We have
Giant
a
Giant Bomb.
All right.
8-4.
Also, we have
JP.
A website.
A website
called 8-4.jp.
Yep, there's that.
And our second home,
GiantBomb.com. If you Google 8-4,
you know what?
It's the first thing that
you should just you should just correct it to that. Everybody just says
just Google us.
Dorito it.
John and Mark were on the Bombcast this week, so tune into that.
iTunes.
We have an iTunes thing. But tune into the Bombcast and then tune into this one and tell us how much better this episode is.
Yeah, you got it. Your voice counts. We got to hear it.
Yes. And that's pretty much it.
Where can we find everybody?
Oh, yes. On Twitter, I am SPRSK.
I'm at Kotawari.
Django Bengo.
That's with E's, right? G-E-N.
Oh, come on, man. I made this especially easy for the world. I put a J instead of a C.
It sounds like Django, the movie.
Yeah, that's
what Django is. Oh, God, yeah, that's true. So
it's J-E-N-G-O.
B-E-N-G-O.
B-E-N-G-O. Mm-hmm. B-E-N-G-O. And Thomas?
So it's Tomakuri. T-O-M-A-C-O-U-L-I-S.
And Jean Snow?
At Jean Snow or Jeans Now.
Jeans Now, I love that.
Ah, yes. So anyways, and that's it for this week. Who's going to take us out?
Un jour je serai le meilleur dresseur, je me battrai sans répit. Les Pokémon et leur mystère, le secret de leur pouvoir. Pokémon, attrapez-les, c'est notre histoire. Un petit mot pour la victoire.
I don't know the rest.
Oh,
thank
man,
you very much.
That sounds so much classier. Yeah.
Un jour je serai le meilleur dresseur, je me battrai sans répit. Je ferai tout pour être vainqueur et gagner les défis. Je parcourrai la terre entière, vaincant avec espoir. Le Pokémon et leur mystère, le secret de leur pouvoir. Pokémon, attrapez-les, c'est leur histoire. Ensemble pour la victoire. Pokémon, rien ne nous arrêtera. Notre ami.
Hey, Benton, don't crap your pants if you see a vampire out there.
Get lost. You wouldn't recognize a goddamn vampire if one jumped up and bit you on the end of your fucking dick. So just get off my back.